All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, we love taking these journeys into these classic texts, and today is no exception. We're tackling the Bhagavad Gita.
Always a good one.
Yeah, always a good one, right? And today is extra special because this deep dive is a listener request. Somebody out there is really curious about Chapter 8, the Yoga of the Imperishable Absolute.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the title alone, the Yoga of the Imperishable Absolute, like, you know, you're going to grapple with some big ideas.
Yeah, and this is really the heart of the Gita in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because this chapter dives deep into some pretty heavy stuff, right? We're talking about the soul's journey after death,
right?
Transcending this whole cycle of rebirth, and like, what even is ultimate reality, you know, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, the big questions.
The big ones, and what's fascinating is that it ties these kind of abstract ideas to like how we actually live our lives right now.
Exactly. It's not just this esoteric thing out there. It's like, how do we live a life today that prepares us for that ultimate reality and that journey?
You actually have a note here about the soul's journey. So like, what exactly does Krishna tell Arjuna about what happens after we die? Like, what's the deal?
Well, Krishna uses this really vivid imagery. It's like he's painting a picture for Arjuna, and he's explaining that the state of our mind when we die is super important. Mm-hmm. That's like our consciousness takes a snapshot, and that imprint, it carries on. It determines the trajectory of our soul's journey. So where we're getting, what we're going to be experiencing is directly related to the state of our mind at death.
So it's not like this blank slate you come in with, whatever you were vibing with on the way out.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like carrying baggage, but it's mental and spiritual baggage.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
And that's why he emphasizes remembering the divine in those final moments, because that focus, that connection to something higher, that's what allows us to break free from that cycle of death and rebirth.
Wait, so you're saying like just by focusing on the divine as we're, you know, checking out,
yeah,
we can like escape the hamster wheel of reincarnation?
In essence, yes. It's about consciously shifting our focus from the material world to the eternal, to the divine, and achieving that state of liberation from the cycle of suffering and rebirth.
So it's not like a get out of jail free card.
No.
It's more like you got to do the work now to even be able to access that. It's a process. It's a lifelong process of self-realization, of elevating our consciousness so that when we do reach those final moments, we're already aligned with that imperishable aspect of ourselves.
Okay. So it's not just about what comes after. It's about cultivating that awareness now, so that then it's like second nature.
Precisely.
You also had something really interesting here about legacy and what that means in the context of Chapter 8.
Yeah, because, you know, we often think of legacy as something external, like statues or buildings or wealth that we leave behind.
Right, like the things you leave behind.
But in Chapter 8, Krishna is talking about a different kind of legacy. He's talking about the legacy of our actions, our karma, the impact that we make on the world around us.
So it's less about like the material stuff you accumulate and more about the energy you put out into the world.
Exactly. It's the ripples on a pond. You know, every action, thought, intention creates a ripple effect that extends far beyond our physical presence.
I like the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Because you don't know like how far your actions are actually going to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to live in alignment with our values, to strive to make a positive contribution. Because every action, no matter how small, contributes to the legacy that we leave behind.
Okay. So for someone who's like trying to really wrap their head around this, do you have any examples like from history or literature that really embodies this idea of living a life of purpose, you know, align with those values to create that lasting legacy?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most striking examples for me is Mahatma Gandhi, right? He dedicated his life to truth, to nonviolence, to justice. And his actions weren't just about India's independence. They were about embodying those values in every aspect of life.
Mm.
And through that, he inspired millions. His legacy isn't just a statue. It's the ripple effect of those values still felt today.
Right. So like his actions really were a reflection of his beliefs, and that's what resonated with people.
Exactly. And that's the power of living in alignment with our deepest values.
It's really incredible how these ancient teachings still feel so relevant today, you know?
Yeah.
And you even have a note here about Chapter 9.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, the title, The Yoga of Royal Knowledge and Royal Secret.
Oh, yeah.
It just keeps getting better.
Right.
Like, I need to know what these royal secrets are.
It's like, it's no coincidence that Chapter 9 comes after Chapter 8, right?
Okay.
Because Chapter 8 lays the foundation for understanding this impermanence of the material world.
Right.
The importance of our actions. And then Chapter 9 takes us deeper into the nature of true knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The path to liberation. all those juicy secrets.
Oh, man. Okay, so that's like next level stuff.
Yeah.
Building on everything we've talked about.
Yes.
Oh, I'm excited. Absolutely. So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, it's clear that this isn't just some like old dusty text.
Yeah, not at all.
This is like a guidebook for life.
Yeah.
And, you know, for you listening, I want to leave you with this thought. If you had to leave a legacy today, what would it be? Based on your actions right now, your values, what would that be? And how can understanding this concept of the imperishable, you know, this idea that there's something beyond this physical world, how can that influence your choices in your everyday life?
That's a great question to reflect on.
Right. Keep those questions simmering.
Yeah.
And a huge thank you to the listener who suggested this deep dive into the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, thank you.
Seriously, it was so fun to explore. And if you out there have a text that's been calling your name, don't be shy.
Yeah.
Send it our way.
Let's do it.
We love this stuff. And, you know, we're always down for a good deep dive. So until next time, keep those minds curious and we'll catch you on the next one.
See you then.